What are some expressions of individuality in marriage that are a cause of disappointment and discouragement? 5. What are some common doubts married couples experience and how can these be resolved? 6. List some aspects of modern society that weaken fidelity in marriage. 7. What guarantee do we have that a marriage will be a success? Discuss. I. The more couples know and love each other, the more they must believe in the person loved. 2. When one or another of a married couple falls into sin, the strength of love is weakened. 3. The efforts of a whole lifetime are needed to achieve intimate communion in marriage. 4. God's grace and man's intelligence and will are necessary for both a good life and a successful marriage. Chapters I. The Mystery of Marriage Synopsis. Marriage is fundamentally a mystery, that is to say, something that participates intimately in the very life of God. It must be lived, therefore, on a mystical plane. It must be motivated by the reality of Christ. It must draw its strength from faith in Him. The mystery of marriage flows from its sacramental nature. The profound meaning of marriage as a sacrament can be understood by reflecting upon it, first of all, as an act of Christ, and, secondly, as an adaptation to human circumstances. This first line of reflection has been developed in the previous chapter. The second reflection upon marriage as an adaptation to human circumstances leads us to understand that Christ's action is united to the whole scope of human situations. Marriage is the most total, the most sacred and the most intimate of all human situations. Through the sacrament of marriage, Christ becomes a part of this state. He assimilates himself to a situation in which two people consecrate their lives. The high mystical possibilities of marriage are based upon the fact that Christ thus associates himself with it. This mystery can best be grasped by seeing it as a participation in the Paschal mystery of Christ. Paschal mystery here refers to Christ's resurrection. Through this mystery, his humanity passed into the glorified state of eternity. Hence, every mystery that participates in the mystery of Christ's glorification takes on something of his glory. It is in this way that human love becomes a mystery. Because Christ has joined himself to this love through the sacrament of marriage, he lives in it, he transforms it, he gives it new meaning and ennobles it with the glory of his own resurrected life. This mystical transformation applies to marriage both as a personal state of life and as a social institution. Considered in its personal aspect, it means, briefly, that couples live their marriages in Christ. Those who have received the sacrament of marriage can say, "My love is part of the mystery of Christ. Christ has enveloped my love and my home with his mystery. It is not only an earthly reality, but already something of an eternal one." That is why marriage is an enduring situation. It is a permanent sacrament of love. The sacrament does not only exist at the moment when vows are exchanged. It is perpetually renewing itself. In the countless actions of every day, Christ gives himself to husbands and wives through the love they have for each other. As long as their love endures, husbands and wives are ministers of their sacrament. They are constantly giving Christ to each other. That is why the chief means of their sanctity is their love. Coming now to the social dimension, we see the same operation taking place. Marriage is not only a personal state of life, it constitutes a cell in the mystical body. The early church writers spoke of the order of the conjoined, indicating that the family had a social role to play beside that of other social orders, such as the clergy. The home is part of the vast social hierarchy that makes up the church. This social role of marriage can be further illustrated by considering it under the following headings. I. The home as the mature cell of the church. Marriage gives couples a special responsibility in the church. Saint Paul went so far as to identify the home as a church. Thus every wedding adds something new to the church. It also imposes upon couples the obligation of exercising a veritable ministry. Husbands and wives must act in the church. 2. The home as an educator in the faith. This obligation is carried out first of all by the efforts parents make to create a center of Christian education in their home. The family is the first church of children. The heritage of our faith is handed down primarily in the home. Failure of homes in this respect accounts at once for the large number of formal Catholics and the de-Christianization of social institutions. Unless children live the Christian life in the home, they very likely won't live it at all. 3. The home as a center of worship. Another form of ministry parents must exercise is to make their home a center of Christian worship. This means first of all that the home must be a community of prayer. The father, as head of the family, here exemplifies in a marvelous manner the royal priesthood of the laity. 4. The home as a witness. This means that the home must develop a missionary spirit. It will inculcate in the children a desire to show forth and announce Christ by the example of their lives. In this sense, the apostolic mission of the church is a practical consequence of the sacrament of marriage. The vocation of Christian marriage is a constant challenge. To keep the edge of their love keen and to understand the full implications of their vocation, they must, first, ment of marriage. Christ becomes a part of this state. He assimilates himself to a situation in which two people consecrate their lives. The high mystical possibilities of marriage are based upon the fact that Christ thus associates himself with it. This mystery can best be grasped by seeing it as a participation in the Paschal mystery of Christ. Paschal mystery here refers to Christ's resurrection. Through this mystery, his humanity passed into the glorified state of eternity. Hence, every mystery that participates in the mystery of Christ's glorification takes on something of his glory. It is in this way that human love becomes a mystery. Because Christ has joined himself to this love through the sacrament of marriage, he lives in it, he transforms it, he gives it new meaning and ennobles it with the glory of his own resurrected life. This mystical transformation applies to marriage both as a personal state of life and as a social institution. Considered in its personal aspect, it means, briefly, that couples live their marriages in Christ. Those who have received the sacrament of marriage can say, "My love is part of the mystery of Christ. Christ has enveloped my love and my home with his mystery. It is not only an earthly reality, but already something of an eternal one." That is why marriage is an enduring situation. It is a permanent sacrament of love. The sacrament does not only exist at the moment when vows are exchanged. It is perpetually renewing itself. In the countless actions of every day, Christ gives himself to husbands and wives through the love they have for each other. As long as their love endures, husbands and wives are ministers of their sacrament. They are constantly giving Christ to each other. That is why the chief means of their sanctity is their love. Coming now to the social dimension, we see the same operation taking place. Marriage is not only a personal state of life, it constitutes a cell in the mystical body. The early synopses and discussion questions. Church writers spoke of the order of the conjoined, indicating that the family had a social role to play beside that of other social orders, such as the clergy. The home is part of the vast social hierarchy that makes up the church. This social role of marriage can be further illustrated by considering it under the following headings. I. The home as the mature cell of the church. Marriage gives couples a special responsibility in the church. Saint Paul went so far as to identify the home as a church. Thus, every wedding adds something new to the church. It also imposes upon couples the obligation of exercising a veritable ministry. Husbands and wives must act in the church. 2. The home as an educator in the faith. This obligation is carried out first of all by the efforts parents make to create a center of Christian education in their home. The family is the first church of children. The heritage of our faith is handed down primarily in the home. Failure of homes in this respect accounts at once for the large number of formal Catholics and the de-Christianization of social institutions. Unless children live the Christian life in the home, they very likely won't live it at all. 3. The home as a center of worship. Another form of ministry parents must exercise is to make their home a center of Christian worship. This means first of all that the home must be a community of prayer. The father, as head of the family, here exemplifies in a marvelous manner the royal priesthood of the laity. 4. The home as a witness. This means that the home must develop a missionary spirit. It will inculcate in the children a desire to show forth and announce Christ by the example of their lives. In this sense, the apostolic mission of the Church is a practical consequence of the sacrament of marriage. The vocation of Christian marriage is a constant challenge. To keep the edge of their love keen and to understand the full implications of their vocation, they must, first, believe in their love for each other and strive to perfect it each day. Secondly, they must frequently renew within themselves the sense of mystery that binds them to the mystery of Christ. These considerations explain the ultimate basis of the unity and indissolubility of marriage. Marriage is one and indissoluble because Christ is one. The lack of faith in this deep reality of marriage accounts for much of the mediocrity and division found in modern homes. Christian husbands and wives love imperfectly when they love only with a human love. Marriage attains its fullest perfection when Christ becomes a living presence in it. For then it is lived in a dimension of eternity, in union with the Easter of Christ. Questions. I. What is the meaning of mystery? 2. In what sense is marriage a mystery? 3. Do the words mystical and mystery express the same idea? 4. Distinguish briefly the personal and social aspects of marriage. 5. What are the two permanent effects of marriage from a personal point of view? 6. List 3 ways in which the home can share in the social mission of the Church. 7. What do we mean when we say that married couples must act in the Church? 8. What are 2 ways in which husbands and wives can live their marriage on a deeper level? 9. How can an awareness of mystery be developed by married couples? 10. What is the basis of the indissolubility of marriage? Discuss. I. Marriage as an act of Christ. 2. Marriage as an adaptation of Christ to human circumstances. 3. Marriage as a participation in the mystery of Easter. 4. Marriage as a permanent sacrament of love. 5. Marriage as the order of the conjoined. 6. Marriage as the mature cell of the Church.